The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, this is My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price, and welcome to the show that rubbernecks at people's Amazon histories. By the end of this show, I guarantee you'll feel both relieved that you haven't bought something, which we'll feature on the show, and you'll also end up writing something down, which actually could be quite useful. I guarantee you that will happen. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome a top stand-up.
That's really kind.
You're such a great stand-up. I first saw you doing stand-up in 1999 at Edinburgh.
I was never there.
Comedy Zone. You were in the Comedy Zone in 99.
Yeah, I was. I was just trying to freak you out. I'm younger.
Freaked me out very early doors.
I was still at school.
Exactly.
Yes, no, I was in the Comedy Zone with Tony Law and Dan Antopolsky.
Rob Rouse.
The crazy, crazy Rob Rouse, who was sick all down the stairs of the flat that we were staying in. Oh God, they were crazy times. Yeah, no, Rob, we'd had a late night do, and Rob came. He wasn't staying in our flat. He was somewhere else, and then he came round, and on his way out, unbeknownst to us, was sick all the way down the stairs. And then I got a very angry neighbour at 8 o'clock the next morning saying, someone from your flat has been sick all over our communal staircase.
Oh, no.
I pleaded ignorance.
Yeah.
But then once I looked, I realised that it was from our flat
all the way very down. Hard.
So I then had to
snail trail of
sick. Anyway, sorry, guys.
Rob Rouse's vom trail. That's a good way to start. All right. So, Lucy, how do you feel? Well, I've just logged into your Amazon account. How are you feeling right now? Do you feel
when
exposed?
When you told me the idea for this podcast, I thought this is absolute genius. And you guys are hilarious. Hilarious, and it's brilliant. And then, of course, the cold, hard reality hits that it's hilarious when it's happening to someone else.
You started Amazon in 2009.
Early adopter.
What's great here, look at this. This is 10 years ago, almost to the day.
Oh, it's my Amazon anniversary. It's my anniversary.
Just being a bit sick down some stairs at the thought of that.
Congratulations.
Happy Amazon anniversary. You are 10. Guys. And the first thing that you bought, well, you bought a batch of stuff. You bought The Power of Gold, The History of an Obsession by Peter Bernstein. Tell us about this. Is it a book?
So, yes, that was, I was doing a show which was called Fool's Gold, and it was at the Edinburgh Festival in that year, 2009.
So you were buying this in March. And the show was in August, so...
Which shows that I did the thing of thinking, right, I'm going to get my Edinburgh show written early this year. I'm going to start in March. That gives me months and months, and then I shall be fully prepared by the time August rolls around.
Did you ever read this book?
No.
Is that it? Never read?
Never read it.
Also, for the uninitiated, March is the... one of the deadlines of the...
Yeah, it's where you have to send in your
title
and a blurb.
This is what happened.
I bought it, never touched it.
And you bought this is what you did. This is classic. Anyone who's done a degree will know this. You've bought a book called The Power of Gold, then you bought the film Gold. So you're clearly going to watch the movie of the plot of Gold, of the idea of Gold has
what
a plot.
What is the movie Gold?
Roger Moore.
Do you know, I don't think I've even watched that.
This was your first ever Amazon order. Was a complete waste of time, wasn't it?
It really was.
Did you ever watch
to the charity
or
trips?
Listen to what's Quiet Night Out? Richard Stilgo, Peter Skellen.
Oh, I bought that for my husband, who was then my boyfriend, and I was trying to impress him.
Oh,
and I knew he really liked Peter Skellen. He's a big Peter Skellen fan,
right?
And so that was an early love gift for my then boyfriend, and I was still trying to impress him.
For anyone wondering, Gold is a film from 1974. It stars Roger Moore and Ray Milland.
What's it about, though?
It's an action drama.
Okay.
Well, Roger Moore becomes involved in a web of intrigue following a rock fall, a South African gold mine owned by Harry Hirschfield, in which general manager and veteran miner Frank Lemmer, played by Norman Coombs, is killed.
Wow.
Oh, do you know what? Yes, actually, I did. I started watching it and it was so appalling.
Well, it was only £3.48 in 2009, so already...
And that would have been a physical DVD at that point.
Has that gone? Is that still in your life or is that gone now?
No, that's gone.
Have you done the thing where you've taken all your DVDs and shifted them, or do they still live somewhere in your house?
We took them all out of their cases and put them all in like a big black folder, and that folder has sat untouched for many, many a year now. So we can't even sell the DVDs on eBay because they're... No. You know, we got rid of all the cases. Utterly useless.
You should have invested in gold, ironically.
I really rather than DVDs. Because even at that time, because I was doing the show about gold, and And everyone was saying, oh, it would be ridiculous. You know, people are investing in gold because it sort of seems like turbulent times, but it's a ridiculous thing to do. You shouldn't invest in gold. It's a complete waste of money. It's just, and this was, in fact, in the show, I sort of said, why is, you know, gold, it's just a metal. We make it precious just, you know, because we're idiots. It doesn't really, you know, it's got no intrinsic sort of value. But of course, if I had, when I was doing that show, bought even a tiny little bit of gold, I needn't have bothered to do the comedy. That's the
wow. You wouldn't be here today, though. Really, you wouldn't be here today talking about this nonsense.
Well, I see. Suppose. Well, so there's been that upside, isn't
it? You know, exactly. So we've won. Should have got some Bitcoin instead.
Some people really invested in the film Gold.
Oh yeah,
go on.
It's got 66 reviews overall, 4.5 out of 5. Mad Dog said, "If you have not seen Gold, then you are missing out." It's an absolute gem from 1974.
Gem,
oh,
good.
Gem.
I get
it. Nice, nice, very nice. It's a nugget rather than a gem.
Do you know what's interesting about 2009 for Lucy Porter? Mm. Only one order placed on Amazon in the whole year. That was it.
Yeah.
The only order all year.
Just that panic buying of things
that was
for
it.
Edinburgh.
Just March happened. Yeah, exactly. You thought you'd get organised for Edinburgh and then you abandon it. So we'll go to the 2010 now. No orders placed in 2010. Are you watching this, Sam Baines?
Look at zero order. I've never seen this screen before on Amazon.
No, exactly, yeah. 2011, it gets to June 2011. It's another book. You've got a Kindle now. This is a Kindle book.
Yes, yes, yes. So by this stage, I've had two children.
Oh, right, so the kids have arrived now.
The kids have arrived.
Okay.
And this was probably me optimistically thinking, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading more books, because that's what you can do when you have small children.
A lot of time on your hands.
Loads of time.
Of course, famously.
I'll probably get back into reading. So, yes, I think, in fact, Justin bought me a Kindle.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can't remember what was on it, and it died very quickly.
Do you have a Kindle now or not?
I don't know. I read books on my phone and physical paper books.
Right.
But
okay.
Again, I don't really read as much as I should.
Did you read? No one does. No one feels that they read as much as they should, do they? It's like exercise.
You always
think I should do more. Do you read a lot?
I read every day.
Do you?
Yeah. I've just written a book, though, so I feel like I have to.
Great.
Great.
Well done. I'm buying that book, Samantha.
I read a lot.
How
it's for children.
Well, perfect. I have two. I should buy two copies.
And not on Kindle. So how many books a week do you read, Sam?
Well, minimum one. Sometimes more.
Really?
Depends on how good the book is
fiction,
or how short the book is.
Fiction.
Fiction. Always fiction.
Yeah, me too. I read
loads of children's books because I actually love reading them because they're fun and quick.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you've achieved something in a
day. So that's why you're doing one a week.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I must admit, actually, yes, I have read a book this week because I read Michael Morpurgo. I can't
Morpurgo.
Say it without saying it. Michael Morpurgo.
He'd prefer that, to be honest.
That's, if he's going to write for children, he deserves it.
Yeah.
I read Kinsuke's Kingdom.
Which is a good review,
very
please.
Good, and you can read it in one little tube journey for me.
Nice.
I love that.
I read The Gruffalo last night in one sitting. So.
Did you? Well done.
Yeah,
I'm really impressed.
But have you read Mrs. Ames, The Bloomsbury Group? Because
yes.
That is the book you bought in 2011. What is it, please?
The actual details of it I'm fairly sketchy on, but
right,
it's one of, it's Persephone Publishing, who I went mad on.
Mm-hmm. Why? What are they?
They republish books by women that have been forgotten in beautiful... I mean, actually buying their books on a Kindle is a bit of a waste. Get the physical books because they're so beautifully bound and they have gorgeous patterned end papers and stuff.
Do you smell them? Do you smell books?
I love the smell.
Oh, guys, can we all agree on that then? The smell of a book, especially if it's been by a pool and it's sort of got a bit of sun on it.
Oh, yes, bit of sun cream.
Yes.
Oh, I love
the
makers
of sand still in
totally.
The cream.
The makers of Kindles, a bit like, you know, that new car smell, you can actually get it canned now. They should spray Kindles with new book smell.
Yes, and then you could have sort of that fusty old sort of library smell.
All my dad's old P.G. Woodhouse books have got that.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely love it.
Oh, my God.
It should just come with a little can with book smell.
Yeah, exactly.
And then every so often you can spray your Kindle when it wears out.
Wait, this is a brilliant Dragon's Den.
There you go. That's going to work.
And then it'll be available on Amazon.
Yes.
And then we can talk about it in the podcast.
So it should just sort of blast in your face, though. It shouldn't even be like a spray. It should just be within the Kindle.
Like one of those diffusers that you plug into the wall.
Yes.
Just every so often.
Yeah. Oh my God, and when you go into a toilet and then you're just sitting there doing your business and then you suddenly hear psh,
Absolutely. Like, was it me?
Can I just say, as the only man in this book group, as what it seems to have become, they put those sprayers right by urinals, and on three occasions, as a tall man, and I'm sure tall men in your life
Lucy,
tall
men in my life,
they spray right by your head. They put the spray things, the time. So every time I go into a urinal, I have to look on the wall and check, because it's got a little digital timer on there.
I see
you can see, if you right up there, you can see how long it's got until it's next due to spray. Because on three separate occasions, I got a right in my face whilst having a wee.
Do you time your spray with its spray?
Yeah, I try to.
So no one can hear
time
you.
My sprays. So that was 2009. Then the next time you go back on Amazon, 2012, right? Yeah. And we can see what's happened to your life, because you bought Owl Babies, Peace at Last, The Gruffalo.
Hey.
That is great. Yes. These are all excellent titles, all of which
Owl
I've read.
Owl Babies is so, so heartbreakingly beautiful.
Where's my mummy?
Oh, yeah, it's just three birds. They're in a nest and they want their mum, and she's out hunting. And then she comes back, and it's like...
don't get me started, because the mum comes back.
Oh, my God, she comes back. And you're really worried that something's happened to her. And that
have you got the pop-up version?
Was it
the
No.
Oh, there's a pop-up version. And when the mum comes back, she leaps out of the book at you.
Oh, my God.
It's quite scary.
It was quite scary. But I don't know whether or not it's because my brain and hormones and emotions got completely softened and destroyed by having a child. Is this stuff objectively emotionally beautiful, or are we just incredibly vulnerable and susceptible to read a kid's book and cry? Because I can honestly cry at The Gruffalo now when I read that, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Is that because I've been basically made...
I don't know. I mean, I think age has a lot to do with it, though, as well. I'm not sure that it's parenthood so much as... I just think... I remember once listening to John Peel doing a thing on Radio 3, and he said that he basically never cried until he was 30. And then pretty much, she said, and then I pretty much haven't stopped crying since. And it was like that for me. I was so good at, I never ever cried in public. I would, very rarely in private. I was just a non-crier. And I was like, well, that's just me. I just don't really cry. I'm just, you know, I would feel sad or moved or whatever, but I wouldn't actually cry.
Cold
but
porter.
Now,
I had
what
no
about
idea.
Your teenage years when you're like so frustrated that you just cry?
Well, I would shout and I would, I would rage, but I wouldn't, I didn't cry. I never, the only things that ever made me cry before I was about sort of, well, nearly 40, you know, very recently, were the films Raining Stones, the Ken Loach film Raining Stones, just for some reason got me, and Schindler's List. And then that was it.
Intense.
That was my two crying experiences.
That's reasonable. Crying at Schindler's List is fine. I mean, I'm not going to see it again. God, you're so emotional, Lucy. So sentimental.
When we at the cinema I was in Manchester, the lights went up, and I was just, you know, in bits. And there was a girl on the row behind me, and she went, "Oh, weren't it sad?" Just in that kind of thing. I was like, yes, it was. It was a bit sad, you're right. Yeah.
Have you seen Marley and Me?
No, I haven't.
That'll make you cry.
Will it? Mm. I feel it won't, but you've now laid down the gauntlet.
Do you like dogs?
I do love dogs.
Oh, you're in trouble.
You will cry, yeah.
Basically,
if you cried at Owl Babies, I think it's anything to do with animals.
That's a factor as well now.
That's true. If you like the idea of a fictional dog dying over 2.5 hours, which is essentially what Marley and Me is. A guy gets a dog and it's nice for 10
Spoiler.
Minutes. I'm so sorry, guys. It's nice for 10 minutes and then he goes, "Oh, that dog's looking a bit old. Oh, it's a bit stiff around the old back legs. Oh, dear." And then you spend 2.5 hours going, "Oh, no. Oh, no."
It's funny though, when you describe it, I'm sort of thinking, no, I don't think I will. I think I will feel I'm being manipulated.
You're so cold,
Lucy.
Well,
I am quite cold.
So that's it. In 2012, only one order.
So just to go back to little baby owls... Other people, it makes them cry too. You're not alone, Lucy. The lovely, I don't know her, so I don't know that she's lovely, but she's called Lily Lulu, which sounds like a lovely name. She gave the book 5 stars. She said, "Lovely book, great for separation anxiety."
Oh, yeah, nice.
Oh,
she
yes.
said, "I bought it to help my daughter cope with separation anxiety, and we both love reading it together. I have to admit, I get a lump in my throat each time I read the part where Mummy Owl comes back."
There you go, you see.
You're not alone.
So
5 stars.
Here's the next question, though. When your kids grow older and they no longer read this book, do you keep this book?
Yes, that is a tricky one.
Well,
we've started. So, yeah, we've given away loads to the charity shop, but there have been a few that I've kept back, hoping to pass them on to other people. I mean, it's nice if you know they're going to a good home, isn't it?
Yeah. My wife is, she... is brutal. She goes through the books and she's just yes. just throws them all away. And I'm like, there's an orchestra book she threw away yesterday. Not threw away, gave to a charity shop. So, you know, all's yeah, well yeah, that yeah, ends yeah. well. But it's like this beautiful book and you can press a button on the side and different elements of the orchestra play oh. along and it builds. And I remember my eldest watching it as a three-year-old and loving it. And she was like, yeah, that's going. Don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Do you miss the orchestra book, Tom?
Well, I do. The orchestra. It's a bloody good tune.
Used to read it.
All right, so that's 2012, a very quiet year again. Then we skip on to 2013. Again, only one order in 2013, Lucy Porter. This well, is, you're very controlled. Well, you probably use those frugal. Shop things. You're frugal. Okay, right, right.
I so. Am tight.
Right, fine.
But we okay. also, every now and then, my husband and I decide to do a buy nothing period where we try and yeah. buy nothing that isn't secondhand.
Right. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we've done it twice.
So should we be looking months. At your eBay history now?
Yes.
That'd be better.
Well, you could do that as well.
We haven't really stretched our wings oh. to do that yet. That's
do
not
it,
a bad idea.
Do it, because actually, yeah.
we go on to your eBay?
You can totally go on to my eBay,
all right,
yeah.
so
look
tell me.
This, you're broadening out. Look, you're like, yeah, God. Widening your potential sponsorship.
Every guest has said, this is going to get sponsored. okay, hang on. So that's it's interesting. So you and your husband only buy secondhand stuff.
Yeah, so we tried it one New Year. I mean, we were skint, basically. So it was like, well, we need to save money and also the planet in that order.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, phenomenal, though. Just you realise how much crap you actually buy, yeah. especially for kids.
Yeah.
And it's all that awful.
Great, isn't it? It's great. Sorry, no, it's awful. Yeah, oh, really bad.
Yeah, it's awful. But then you will see that when I lapse very badly.
Oh, yeah, we're in. All right, okay, here we go.
Do you know, I'd be more worried about people looking at my eBay purchases than Amazon.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So we're just nipping over to eBay now, which we're updating the format, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this. Items per page. Last 60 days. Let's go. So 2017 is when yeah. your eBay kicked off, right?
Yeah.
And
it's been a very full couple of years on eBay.
Look at this. So we've got, what have we got here,
I'm much
guys?
I'm more inclined to buy secondhand, especially with clothes now. I just think there's no point buying new clothes anymore. No point.
As long as they've been washed, you're good to go.
Even if they haven't been washed.
Even if they're not been washed, yeah.
You can wash them.
Come on.
Exactly.
You've seen one skid mark. All right, here we go. Look at this. 15th of February 2017, yeah, you bought a vintage retro two-tier tea drinks trolley, gold anodized. Ribbed frame from the 1950s.
I did, and it was gorgeous. And I went and collected it from someone in Ealing.
Uh-huh.
This lovely bloke whose mum had had it, and she loved it, and he didn't know what to do with it.
Oh,
and it was a beautiful exchange. And I said, I am going to love this more than you could ever possibly imagine.
Broken?
No, I used it in a show, and it was on. It appeared on television. It was on ITV's Peston.
Really?
On Saturday.
Why?
I mean, because it was like my little drinks trolley that I used in my show, and I made cocktails for, I made a cocktail for Sir Nicholas Soames.
That's incredible. Hang on. So I am looking here on eBay at a drinks trolley that was used to serve Winston Churchill's grandson.
A baby sham.
Amazing.
I made him a baby sham. I was on Peston and Justin had said to me, who are you on with? And I said, oh, Sir Nicholas Soames. And Justin said, ugh, he's awful. He blocked Justin on Twitter because Sir Nicholas Soames had been tweeting about the Queen was on telly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was like, so lovely to see Our Majesty looking radiant on the screen. Oh, she makes me so proud of this. I know, and Justin had tweeted at him, are you having a wank? And he blocked Justin. And Justin said, look, you know, you
is that treason?
I think it probably is.
It was also probably true as well.
And Justin said, oh, you can't be all nicey-nicey to Sir Nicholas Soames. But then I get to the Peston show and he was just this lovely old bumbling bloke and he was really charming in that way that, you know, toff men can be. And and Justin said he watched the programme and it was like we were the best mates ever. And I was like...
Was Justin cross with you when you got home?
He's
so nice to
me. You're cheating on me.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, that man who's blocked me on Twitter is now your best mate.
So you bought this two-tier tea drinks trolley, which, very importantly, £25, fully tax deductible if you've used it in your house.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was fully tax deductible.
And did you use that then in your tax return that year? I hope you did.
I'm very bad at claiming. The problem is I'm really not very good. And I got audited by the Inland Revenue some years ago and it terrified me so much.
Oh, no. What happens when you get audited? Do they all come round then? Do all the suits?
Your receipts.
Oh yeah, and they take you into a room in Croydon, and they they
greet. There's no need for that. That is.
Did they probe you?
Possible punishment.
They did. It was so grueling.
How long did it go on for when you got auditors?
Oh my god, I was in the room for hours.
Right.
And they were showing me, they'd compiled like this massive dossier of every gig that I'd ever been listed for. So they'd gone through Chortle.
Oh, and my God.
They had, I think that's mostly what Chortle's users are, the HMRC.
That's a nightmare.
Kind of check out. Because I think with comedians, they presume that you're doing cash in hand. Or back in the day, I think they presumed that you were Ken Dodd and you were doing everything cash in hand.
Yeah, right.
But then I think they got me into the room and very quickly realised I'm just an idiot. I'm not a tax dodger. I'm just someone who is very badly organised.
Surely there was a moment when they say, so that gig there, which you got paid in cash, and you say, yeah, that was 60 quid. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
Because they're probably expecting, you know, people think you get paid for doing stand-up like 1,500 quid. Have you ever done that? If you ever go on stage, I remember doing it in Coventry once. Like, how much do you think I'm getting tonight? And they all went, 700-800 quid? I was like, guys, 60 quid.
I know.
People have a completely inflated idea of how much stand-ups get.
Oh, they really do.
And I can imagine HMRC just sitting you down, and as soon as you say 60 quid, they're like, 1 second. Just leave them and go, yeah, you're free to go. Yes.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Then we go into 2018 on your eBay, right? And just having a little scroll through. Two clown ornaments.
Oh, you're going to get a whole... Right, so what happened was I was doing a show about my mum and dad and about the stuff that they had left me, like bric-a-brac. Mm. And they had all these glass clowns. And I'd sort of put them in the show and I was talking about them. And then I did a preview where... because I would whisk a cloth off the top of these glass clowns, but I'd forgotten to bring my cloth. And so the venue gave me, you know, like the really heavy black kind of stage.
Oh, no.
And I went to whip it off and smashed all of these clowns. So I then had to replace the actual clowns that my mum and dad had left me with fake bought clown. You know, they were the same.
Yeah.
But I felt really bad. And I do feel if anyone came to see that show after... a certain point, you will have not been seeing the actual clowns, you will have been seeing standing clowns. But I just was so, you know, when you were so married to having something in the show, it was almost like superstition where I was like, well, I'll feel weird doing it without the clowns now.
It's got to be there.
Also, it's difficult to imagine a glass clown.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know what that might look like, it's a very scary thing.
Mm,
that
it is quite frightening. Giant hands as well, with pot hands, says here. What did the audience do when the clown got smashed?
Oh, it was just awful. I mean, it was just, as a comedian, all you want people to feel really is happy or challenged, you know, you don't mind shocking.
Well, if it's an Edinburgh show, a bit sad at the end.
Yeah, a bit sad at the end. Yeah. Always a bit sad
at the end. Dad's died, there you go.
But not, not concerned about...
So were you, when it happened, were you like, oh no, no?
Well, I, of course, tried to, I was like, it's fine, guys. Totally meant to do that. It's absolutely fine. But inside, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I had to put on a brave face. But I think everyone could tell that it was quite a traumatic moment. For
smashed us at some of the reins.
They were seeing part of my childhood die in front of their eyes.
Also, the tears of a clown and the sort of the metaphor of a clown being smashed on stage by a clown.
Fragile nature of it.
Please don't read anything into that. But do take a picture of it and use it for your autobiography. That's all I can say.
Did it at least happen at the end of the show?
Nope,
was it sort of crescendo?
Right at the beginning.
No.
Okay. There's loads. Look at this. Sam, it's hilarious. Vintage Murano multicoloured glass clown. £21.
Look like test tubes, just with a little head on the top and arms.
Yes. Well, it's fascinating as well, because a lot of the time I will do click and collect for these things.
Oh, that's a Dave Gorman show right there, isn't it?
I
off
know.
You go.
Click and collect.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So what happens?
Is it too late to change this as Edinburgh show?
Are you going to Edinburgh this year?
And so, yeah, I am, yes. Oh. I'm doing a show called Be Prepared.
Fantastic.
Are you?
No, I'm not going, but I'm excited that you're doing an hour. That's brilliant. Nice.
Are you prepared?
No prepared. I mean, yeah. The title is heavily ironic.
So presumably, when we get to it, we look at March 2019, which we shortly will on your Amazon. We're going to discover loads of books
on eBay. You will, you will see the March buying frenzy.
The March panic, part of the Lucy Porter rhythm of the year.
It is. God, it's funny, isn't it? You are teaching me things about myself.
Yeah, you see,
we're
finding the patterns in your life. So let's hop back over to Amazon now. Right. So we were at 2013 just now,
yeah.
Let's leave those clowns behind, but keep Lucy Porter the clown in the room. 2014, zero again. So you got a gift on October 2016. You got a lovely luxury food and wine hamper, perfect for him or indeed her. So this is a gender fluid food and wine hamper there. Who was that for? Any ideas? You spent a good wodge on that. That's for an agent, surely.
Yeah, that would have been an agent present.
Yeah, thanks, agent.
What time of year was it?
That is October, though, so...
17th of October.
Hang on. Bad.
I can tell you it's to George Porter.
Oh, that was to my nephew. That was my nephew who'd just gone to university, and we were all worried that he wasn't going to be eating well.
So
you sent him luxury food and wine.
If I've just arrived in a halls of residence, the last thing I want my new friends at university to see is some butler walking down the corridor with a wicker hamper. Look at him, he's all right, isn't he?
You want drugs, really. I should have said it was hash in my day, but I don't know what it would be.
A wicker hamper of drugs.
Those little silver canisters of whatever they take these days.
Yes, the silver canisters that you always find on the road.
They're laughing gas.
Is that what it is? It's laughing gas, is it?
I bet if you look at that, would be interesting to look at on Amazon, the reviews of those, because they're meant to be for puffing up whipped cream, aren't they?
Oh, amazing.
But everyone uses them in a whipped cream dispenser, but there's some procedure where you have to put it into a balloon or something.
Let's not describe it on the podcast before we get...
So kids,
I don't think many kids are listening to this.
Auntie Lucy teaches you how.
That is a spin-off podcast. If you want to make that podcast, Lucy, I can help.
Auntie Lucy's drugs A to Z.
What would you call them?
It's nitrous oxide, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can't buy the nitrous oxide in Amazon, but you can buy some of the paraphernalia.
That's actual laughing gas, isn't it? Yeah. But I think it isn't actual.
Hang on, so it's not actual laughing gas that they're having in the canisters?
No, it's a gas, but it's not. I don't think it's the same as what you get at the dentist.
You can buy helium. A gas bottle of helium on Amazon.
Oh, I've done that.
It's £30.
And that does make me laugh. So that is technically a laughing gas, right?
We've had helium canisters, which is environmentally ruinous because we're running out of helium. But for kids' parties, it is great. And then Justin and I will film ourselves doing high-voiced.
It's so much fun.
In fact, we got really quite tipsy one night, and it was my sister-in-law's birthday, and we had a helium canister, and so we sent her what turned out to be some hours of footage of us saying happy birthday, singing happy birthday. Poor woman must have thought, why are they?
I love the fact this story started with you saying, well, we are running out of helium, and it's really very soon. So anyway, then we did 2 hours videos with us doing high-pitched
just
voices,
absolutely wasting the precious resource.
Yeah, exactly.
If you search silver canisters laughing gas in Amazon, then nothing comes up, but then it does offer you cream chargers, which are the little silver. You get a pack of 10 for $7.99.
Good news. Yeah. So then in 2016, you have bought loads, you've really hit Prime Video hard.
Yes,
you did well. You got Happy Feet for 99p.
I know.
Bargain,
but do you know
isn't
what?
It?
Recently, we've gone absolutely nuts on Prime Video.
Yeah. It is expensive. So, for example, you spent on The Secret Life of Pets, great movie, $9.99 you spent on that, and yet that's on Netflix now.
It was a panic buy. It was one of those, they're fighting, they're about to kill each other, they really want to see, and there's times where you capitulate to their demands.
What price would you go to? Because with me, I often think, if I've paid £9.99, I'm like, this could be literally £500
now. Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. Just take one of the children so that the remaining one can watch The Secret Life of Pets. Yeah. That would be fine by me.
Good.
Go on to the second page because there's good stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, 2016.
So 2016, this is when it kicks off, obviously, for Lucy.
You said that with such malevolent glee, Samantha Baines.
Let me look at the things that Lucy's bought.
Is there something saucy?
It's strange.
Hang on. I'm going right down to the bottom.
Oh, I love this.
Would you mean gentlemen prefer blondes or a bit higher than that, maybe?
Higher than that.
Gentlemen prefer blondes.
The two things above that, the black things.
Oh, hello.
You have bought
a premium adjustable waist slimming belt.
Oh, yes.
Is this a girdle?
Oh, my God,
Is this for Justin?
Totally
this
is
for Justin,
this
isn't
is it? His surgical truss, as they used to call it in the 70s. Yeah, no, shapewear.
There you go.
I discovered the world of shapewear.
Tell us about it, please.
And it is extraordinary. So it's largely Brazilian. It's all from sort of Brazilian websites. And they have like these extraordinary... And it arrived, and I thought, well, this would be nice because, you know, just post-childbirth, things have become a little sort of flabby in the midsection.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, a little defined waist. And I thought, well, this, you know, people seem to wear these things. Spanx, all of these things that one's heard of.
So this is a Brazilian approach to Spanx, basically.
This is an extraordinary, like, it's industrial rubber. And I tried to put it,
but I love this because all women have been there. You get a phase where you're like, right, I'm buying shape. I've seen it on models or the telly. I'm buying shapewear.
And there's an event. There must have been, I think there was probably, what time of year was this? Was this
this was 6th of June.
Summer wedding.
Yeah.
It was a summer wedding.
It will have been that. And I'll have thought, oh God, I can't turn up just feeling really blah. So, but yeah, the idea of under any kind of summer garment, wearing
thick black latex.
Oh God, and it was so awful because, so you had to kind of, because in my younger days, I would wear corsets as an item of fashion wear. So I kind of knew the drill is, if you're wearing a corset, you have to sort of start in the middle, you sort of fasten it up in the middle first, because the rookie mistake is you try and do like the top and the bottom, and then you've got the big gaping bit that you need to pull across. So I tried all the sort of the tricks with this shapewear, but I could not, like, my fingers were, my nail was bleeding where it had sort of wrenched.
When did the crying start?
I cried for so long, so hard, because, you know, it's everything you want it to make you feel kind of, you know, slim and trim and amazing, and it actually just makes you feel tragic.
Did you get rid of it?
No, I think it's still sitting around somewhere. I know, for what reason, I don't know. Probably because I'm too embarrassed. Like, what do you do with it? I can't give it to the charity shop, but I don't want to throw it away. Because it will, you know, if that sits in landfill, it will be the last
thing. It's
very
thick.
Yeah, that's going to be in landfill for a long time.
Lots of people agree with you. One star, rubbish, shocking. The Velcro came away within a week. Do not buy. I purchased this item recently, started using it. The stitching's coming away.
Imagine if the Velcro came away while you're wearing it. If you're there at a wedding.
And it just goes, smells disgusting, someone says.
I think I did try again. I think because I did, like, the stupid thing of buying it and then reading the reviews and going, oh, it's not just me. Oh, it's fine. It's the product. And then I think I tried to buy, in fact, it may be in our, we may come across this later. I think I tried to buy another one in the hope that that would be better, and it really wasn't. Shapewear is not for me.
Well, I'm excited about the bra version that you bought. Shapewear top.
Short
sleeve slim crop top. You should send these things back.
Well, it's just what that one is it's like sleeves. So again, because I was wearing, you know, it's like summer wedding, but also, I don't really like my upper arms. So maybe I can sort of get this thing that will then, you know, cover my upper arms and shape. And it was just...
And it goes under the boob. I've never seen anything like it.
No, it was extraordinary. But yeah, again, totally unworn.
Sleek guys, why do you put yourselves through this?
I know. Well, and I'm not that kind of person. I don't...
We all try, though, and then you realise.
This is why this podcast is so good, because I would never, under normal circumstances, admit...
Good. Well, there'll be people listening to this going, good.
But we all do it. Like, you get them and you're like, you put them on, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to look amazing. And then you wear them to an event and, like, you can't go to the toilet.
You get gas. Like, do you know, if you're eating at a wedding,
you expand. What they do is, because I had some high-waisted knickers from M&S that were, so A, they were meant to, like, hold you in, but what they actually do, as everyone knows, is they just force the fat somewhere else. So I had,
very fat ankles.
My thighs, there was just a line my thighs just suddenly were like, we're out of here. And then the top bit again, and they were just forcing my tits into a really kind of painful,
it's
unnatural
like
position.
That strip in between your boob and the top of the pants that is just this huge area of skin,
it was ridiculous. So painful. And when I was at a do, like a corporate event thing that I was meant to be sort of hosting, but I was in so much pain, and actual physical pain by the time, because I was trying to eat.
Oh, no.
And, like, really couldn't. So I had to go to the loo and try and, so I sort of rolled it down.
Oh, that's the,
so and then you just like, this is like Ross in his leather pants, isn't
and
it?
And did you wear them over your pants? Because then when you take them off, your pants come off with them. Yeah, or you can just wear them instead of pants. It's really stressful.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And then also, the tights are involved.
Yes.
You know, it's crazy. Can I just say, shape control time.
No shame should be felt about ever buying this sort of stuff. What should be felt shame at is on the 18th of December 2017 when you bought some rubber adult surf clogs. That is unacceptable. That is not an acceptable thing to be doing.
Yeah, I've... Yeah, the whole family now wear Knock Rocks. The Knock Rocks.
Okay, Knocks. All right, good.
Yeah, we're... well, we have... There's a river near where we live, and it's in the summer. This is the... You know, this is my life. In the summer, the river goes, like, really low, and you can walk along it, and it's really nice. But
that's gorgeous.
Order to do that...
Famous
you need,
Five.
You need, it is really, like, you take a little net out. You don't hurt anything, but you just collect stones. And...
Catching stones. Got one! Yes. All right, so then basically, Lucy, 2017, 2018, 2019, lots of Prime Video stuff. Mm-hmm. Some really great classic movies. Hotel Transylvania 3. I think that got nominated for quite a few Oscars.
Yeah,
that
did,
one.
Yeah.
Johnny English, that swept the boards
moving,
as well.
Moving piece of cinema, that was.
Really, really touching stuff. Iron Man 2. I mean, this is great. This is a window into your soul, right? Absolutely perfect. And then the final thing, which I think we'll end on, if that's all right, yeah. Lucy, because it feels like there's a big story here. This was delivered on the 19th of February, so mm-hmm. 2019, so only a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. An adult ladies brownie adventure girl fancy dress costume guide scout outfit. Medium, tell me more.
Yes. So, is it Sexy Times or is it the Panic of Edinburgh?
Oh, it's Edinburgh Panic again.
I'm not role playing with my husband.
Oh,
as a
such a
brownie.
Disappointing end.
Sadly, yeah, no, it's just my Edinburgh poster. I thought, what can I do? The show's called Be Prepared. So, I am a 46-year-old woman dressed as a brownie. That's what's
wow.
happening.
You
now.
Did buy a men's one, though, as well.
What's that all about?
I'd fit into the whip.
You're like, oh, just get a men's and a women's just in case.
Yeah,
you know,
so
we're just at home and we want to...
Justin can't be a scout.
Well, it's only got 3.5 stars,
no,
three customer
poor,
reviews.
Very poor quality.
Is it?
Oh, really? Well, it's one use costume, right? You do it once for the photograph and then that's it.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yes.
So have you done the photos then? Are the photos done?
The photos are up and running and you will be able to see them in the Edinburgh Festival programme.
Well, this is brilliant. So March is here. You've done your preparation. You're off to Edinburgh this year. Have an amazing time. What's the name
Thank
of the show
you.
Again, please?
It's Be Prepared.
Be Prepared. The wonderful Lucy Porter. And if you do go and watch her Edinburgh show, having listened to this podcast, you're going to know so much more about her now, right? All the secrets.
The heckles I will get.
You should do
show
a burn,
us the shapewear.
Burn the shapewear at the end.
And please don't smash, don't harm any clowns.
No clowns during, will be harmed in the making of this show, don't
apart from you, hopefully, yeah, a little bit.
We're always damaged.
That creative journey. Lucy Porter, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Brilliant. So that is the end of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Give us a rate and a review and all that business. And me and Samantha Baines will be back next time. I think we're going to do these every week. Hope you enjoyed it. And give us a follow on Twitter as well, please, at ToasterPod. That's all your toaster admin you've got to do. And if you've got any good ones as well, go back and have a look through your Amazon purchase history. If you have got any good ones, we'd love to hear them. Just drop us a tweet at ToasterPod. And you'll see at the moment we've got about 8 followers. So you can be a very early adopter of this new podcast. Thanks very much. See you soon.
GreatBigOwl.com. Great Big Owl is taking podcasts to a whole new level, and that level is live.
This September, loads of your favourite Great Big Owl shows are coming to the London Podcast Festival at King's Place.
On Friday, September the 6th, thrill as John Holmes gives a battering to the nation's least favourite tea time show as the One Show takes to the stage.
On Friday the 14th, Tracy Ann Oberman's Trolled, Friends with Friends and Wrestle Me will be gadding about the theatre like they think they're John Bloody Gielgud or something.
And on Saturday the 15th, Rule of Three, The Fear and Brian and Roger will be presented as nature never intended in front of an audience of human beings who aren't wearing headphones.
Great Big Owl live at the London Podcast Festival this September.
We don't just make things for your ears, we're also making things for your eyes and ears.
Tickets for all the shows are available at kingsplace.co.uk.
I'll see you there.
Christ almighty.